I'm really sorry, folks.
The presentation should be running. I just installed my new operating system, Windows 95.
Try typing sysedit.exe.
Thank you.
Check your autoexec.net.
No, look at your config.sys.
Thank you.
If you're looking for a computer that's easy to use, there's still only one way to go.
Get a Macintosh.
Stop talking to Grandpa Simpson.
Greetings, everyone.
Hello.
Hello. Who are you?
That's a strange voice. Who's that strange voice? Wes?
I don't.
You must
be
listening to yourself, because I know who I am.
Yeah.
I don't know. Let's go around and introduce ourselves. You're listening to Slurpcast.com.
Right.
My name is Wes. My name's Wes.
Have you seen my teeth?
And I'm the world famous Mark Bernay. Your teeth got that way from slurping too fast.
Is that what it was?
Yeah, I guess so.
Nice.
This is Bob O'Rob.
Bob O'Rob.
Yes. Okay.
That's awesome.
And you're a guest on the show?
I guessed.
Okay. We have a criteria for guests, so I want to make sure that you fit correctly.
Okay.
And Wes once advertised on Craigslist for people wanting to be guests on the show. Mm-hmm. And this guy who applies for gigs all the time on Craigslist voluntarily gave his shirt and shoe sizes. So apparently that's very important when you're applying for gigs on Craigslist.
I'm not wearing a shirt.
We didn't realize that because we didn't ask the question, but apparently that's what people always ask.
Shirt size?
Yeah, because he just voluntarily told Wes what his shirt size and shoe size was when he was applying for this job. Right.
Yeah, it had nothing to do with like
too much information.
Anything. Yeah, it was like, oh yeah, my shoe size is this. And
so we figured that must be important. So we ask everyone as a guest on the show now what their shoe size, shirt size. We're compiling our own database of who works out well.
Okay.
Versus okay. that. See. So if you ever, so if he doesn't work out, we get someone else who applies who doesn't know. We'll know that's the criteria, right?
Well, I'll have to start wearing shirts.
Okay.
So you're listening to Slurpcast. This is a show where Mark and I get together weekly to go over the kind of the goings-on in tech that have occurred in the past week.
Right, and we usually record in a restaurant and eat food while we're recording and slurp our soup and slurp our drinks and stuff. Mm-hmm. That's why it's called a Slurpcast.
We're still slurping, though, Mark, so it's right. all good. We're mm-hmm. fine.
But we're doing it in a conference room. We're not really in a restaurant today, though.
Sorry, you got a Kleenex?
Mark and I have an interest in highlighting tech stories that a lot of new fads and things that happen recently. If you do research, figure out that those ideas aren't necessarily new and they've been thought of sometime in the past. So we like to highlight those kinds of stories.
So that's why you asked me on this show, because I'm really, really old.
No, yeah, okay. But it is helpful that we have people who have you know, been around and long enough to know about some of these things, like old video games. And
there's nothing new under the sun.
Right.
Just a new name for the same old stuff.
Right.
Put together in a different way.
So we'll go around and we'll talk a little bit about some of the highlights, some of the stories. I've got a bunch of stories.
Let's get started.
So, what's the biggest event that occurred in the past week, Mark?
Oh, some guy named Steve gave a speech. People seemed excited about it.
Yeah, it was kind of long and drawn out, though, don't you think? Yeah. I mean, by the time the whole thing was over with, I was like, geez, I feel really sorry for the people in that conference.
I never actually watched it. I just watched it on Twitter point by point. I never actually watched it. Yeah.
Well, they put it out as an RSS.
I usually watch it, but this time I was just too busy. But I did see the video.
Yeah.
It's quite impressive, actually.
Yeah, it was all things iPhone 4 and iOS.
So, what's iOS?
I don't know. Do we want to go over all the different things that were introduced, or can we just kind of like figure that out?
Everyone already knows. FaceTime, because the video phone has been purported to be the next big thing since 1939 at the World's Fair or whatever it was introduced. And what people don't realize is who wants someone to see you when you're calling them at 6 in the morning or 11 at night when you're in your underwear or your pajamas and you haven't shaved or your hair's not on your head or whatever?
Well, that's why you have that button on there that like rotates it around
Still,
the screen on the other side.
It's going to be great for grandparents to see their kids, but it's not going to be used for anything else.
True.
I mean, great, two cameras. Yeah. I can take two bad pictures at the same time.
Well, phone sucks.
Speak for yourself, please.
And only over Wi-Fi, though.
Yeah.
I mean, you got to make sure you're connected to Wi-Fi before. But I like the phone sex idea.
Yeah.
Just not quite sure how.
I'm sure you would. But over Wi-Fi?
Honey, honey, yes, I know I can talk to you on the phone. And,
right.
But could you please find some wireless internet access? Yeah, go down to Starbucks, would you please, and get naked.
Oh, and by the way, we have to pay AT&T $70 a month for this. Yeah, that'll go over big.
Right.
No, not for that. No,
you'll sure. need to call for phone sex after that, because everyone you're with is going to leave you.
Right.
Yeah. Well, actually, it'll actually ruin phone sex, because phone sex is about fantasy, right?
Right, like I was talking
and
about.
And then we actually see the person, point. And they're not doing what they're saying
that's
in the fantasy.
That's the whole point.
Yeah, yeah. So what does this mean for Skype, though? This whole open source, they're going to be basically like allowing the
they
whole
keep changing
API to be open, right, for FaceTime. So the idea behind software applications that already allow some sort of video conferencing may adopt it. And one of the things that people are very happy with right now is Skype on the iPhone.
Right.
What does that mean? Will Skype adopt it, do you think?
Yeah, there's been articles about that, but it kind of goes back and forth, and I forget what the latest one said.
Okay.
I haven't heard.
Okay.
But yeah, it's possible that Skype, you might be able to have Skype at one end and a FaceTime client at the other end.
Okay.
Or maybe two Skypes, but using that camera.
Okay.
Huh. Now, speaking of Skype, they came out with a new version for the iPhone that officially supports for Skype phone calls over 3G. Mm-hmm. You don't have to have Wi-Fi anymore.
Right.
It actually sounds halfway decent, actually. It actually works a little
hopefully
bit.
Hopefully it will be.
Well, I've been able to, like when I went on vacation, I was, I bought one of the Skype phones, the Wi-Fi phones.
Right.
Yeah. They're very inexpensive. Mm-hmm. And I was able to, on the island where I was staying that had limited bandwidth, I mean, it had Wi-Fi, but the bandwidth was really, really poor.
Right.
And I used the Skype phone, and it was really good.
Cool.
Even in really poor bandwidth areas. So I was pretty amazed. Right. So I can kind of see how it would sound fine.
Yeah.
Over the 3G?
Yeah, over 3G.
No, but it was bad before. See, if you jailbreak before, you were able to force Skype to work through 3G by faking it out and thinking it was Wi-Fi. Mm-hmm. And that did not sound good at all.
Okay.
But the official one now under the official 3G does seem to work a lot.
How does AT&T feel about that?
They're approving it. Okay. Yeah, they approved VoIP a long time ago on their network.
But they're not allowing tethering, and they're going to charge for.
Well, they're allowing tethering, but
they're going to charge for the use of voice over IP.
Skype is going to charge. It's very mysterious why, because it's none of their business.
Because AT&T is going to take it as a kickback.
That's what I'm wondering, because otherwise it's none of Skype's business how you use it.
Well, that was my question. How is AT&T going to make money off of it?
Right.
Yeah, so maybe that's the secret, that Skype will have to pay them some money.
Okay. So, should we move on? That's all great. We're going to have some new... the introduction of the phone is going to be the 27th. You're going to be able to get one. The new iOS for the phone, as well as the 3G, 3GS, and the iTouch will be on the 21st. That'll be released.
Right.
Limited functionality on any of the older models.
But some people have to wait for a jailbreak to come through.
Some people like Mark Burnet?
Yes. I'll probably put it on my iPad immediately.
Uh-huh.
But the iPhone must remain jailbroken because I tether.
Yes.
Because I tether the iPad over Wi-Fi, which is not supported even in the new AT&T scheme for Wi-Fi for tethering.
AT&T.
Don't tell anybody.
Mark Burnet is cheating.
But to see the really serious question.
Oh golly, let's call the Justice Department.
On the new one, do I get a white or a black one? See, the current one is all black on the front, and the only decision is what you want the back to be, basically, right?
Okay.
But the new one is very white on the front, white or black on the front as well.
Right.
So that's my big decision. Which one do I get?
You buy both, and then depending on your mood...
Do you have a lot of free time?
Yes. Actually, I do nowadays, yeah.
He's the world-famous Mark Burnet.
That's right.
I haven't heard of him before. I guess I live in a different world.
I know.
All right.
Which world is that you're famous on?
It's called Earth.
Oh. Show me more of what you call
this Earth
money.
Thing.
So.
Yeah.
So
buttons on your coat.
Right.
As Albert A. would say.
Moving off of that story, I have an interesting story.
Okay.
It's actually not, it's technical related, but it's old school technology. Okay. It's paper airplanes.
Okay.
So this is kind of mind-blowing. We're going to post this in the show note. I found a video, and it was actually a part of Boing Boing. Basically, this teacher at her high school used phone book pages to do origami-like paper airplanes for her students. Only the neat thing about this is she figured out a method for keeping these things flying in the air. Since the paper used to create the airplanes is so light, you're able to follow behind the paper airplane as you throw it with another piece of cardboard constantly causing the flow of air without actually fanning it. You just follow it behind.
Really?
And they've got this video I'm going to show you. Actually, shows a couple of people with just using just their hands, keeping it in the air. And at first, I was thinking,
but making wind with their hands,
just not even really doing anything with their hands. Just kind of mind blowing. And I encourage people to click on the link.
Paper airplane blowing, at least.
Yeah, you got to see this. This is very cool.
So they're basically just pushing air at it.
Yes, exactly. Huh, but it's
from below and not necessarily up, just keeping a cushion of air below it.
Exactly. Okay. Using their hands.
Would farts work? If you just kind of fart behind it and run around behind it?
How would you do that, Mark?
That's different kind of pushing wind.
Would you have to do a lot of beans, maybe some, Could you use an iPhone, Mark?
iPhones can, and there are iPhone apps that will blow a slight bit of air out the speaker port, but probably not for that.
I think it would probably work better to use a Windows mobile-powered phone, because they tend to blow more.
Yeah. Can you get a giant to fall behind it and have it go to the moon and have a giant fall behind it and keep pushing it?
If you use a San Francisco giant, that would probably generate a lot of air, because they'd always be falling over themselves.
Anyway, look at this guy. I mean, like he's using his hand.
Yeah.
Wait a minute, I thought it was kind of fascinating.
And by the way, we never mentioned this before. If this is the first time you're listening, go to slurpcast.com, and there will be a blog entry behind this recording that gives the URLs of all the stories we're talking about.
Or if you're unfortunate enough to have crossed this link by accident, you don't have to go to slurpcast.com, and you can just close this window or whatever
That's
true. On whatever internet device you happen to be using.
That's correct. And
so I have to segue to something, although I can't find
Mark has copious free time.
We could talk about segues.
That's
a segue and a segue.
That is true. And we've even talking about segues with people falling off of segues.
Right.
Not actually segueing.
Mm-hmm. Could we segue to a story about segues being segues?
Sure.
What if Percy Sledge wrote a segue? Would it be a sledgeway?
So anyway, on a segue, there's an article I actually don't have it with me right now. But someone made these cardboard cutouts, Steve Jobs.
Okay.
Steve Jobs, the cardboard cutouts, iPhones, and it's still a little cardboard cutout stage where he stands in front of an audience and little cardboard people raising their hands and praying to him and stuff.
Not much different than the actual event, I actually. Did you hear what happened at the keynote?
Yeah,
couldn't get a wireless connection, and Steve said, "Can someone fix this?" And someone stood up in the audience and said, "Verizon!"
I know. But he was on Wi-Fi at the time, so it didn't make any sense.
It was still funny.
Yeah, that is pretty funny. Mm-hmm. Yeah, and then after, I want to be the one. I want to get the film that somebody must have made of him getting off of the stage.
Right.
And going behind the stage to yell at the people about why his presentation wasn't working.
What I would like to add is some kind of video counter at the bottom that starts spinning when he doesn't get the wireless signal, and you could put a little caption next to it. People who will be fired at Apple.
Exactly. Right. I think he went behind the stage and fired everybody in sight. I don't even think he cared if they were really Apple employees. He was just like, "You with the mop, you're fired."
No, but he probably understands that it really was caused by just overload of the Wi-Fi, so... Except one of the problem with that theory, though, is that the old iPhone kept working all the time, so it was no load of Wi-Fi. Why would one work and the other one didn't?
It's kind of weird.
It's all this reliance on modern gadgets.
We should go back to the day of Lincoln Logs.
That's right. Yeah.
Huh? Sorry.
Did Lincoln write logs? Did he keep logs? Was he a ship's captain?
I got Lincoln Logs here. Never mind.
Stop, please. No.
My next story. Mm-hmm. So we got all excited. I got excited about Linux, the Ubuntu version, the flavor being introduced, right?
Okay.
The newest Lucy Lincoln, the 10.04 LTS.
Okay.
Lucid Lynx.
He keeps offering me that every time I update. Every time I do the software update, he keeps offering me to switch to that.
Right, and you can turn it off.
I'd like to do it. I just don't fully trust it. Yeah.
Okay, so I usually wait. I usually kind of like pick a time limit, like saying, okay, after it comes out, I'll wait a week before I install it.
Okay.
Knowing that if I try it too early, there's going to be something wrong with the actual upgrade. Right?
Yeah.
So I waited, I think, like after I forget when we announced that it was out, but I guess I waited maybe 2 weeks, and then I just did the install on my machine at home. halfway through the installation, I get these error messages. Oh, can't upgrade this. And at some point, you get to the feeling of like, yeah, I just should start over and wipe the drive and do a fresh install because I'm not real sure what this means. Am I going to be crippled when I restart my machine?
Yeah,
or
and the reason likely, I don't. And see, I installed it under Windows. They have a an install procedure where you start Windows first, then you install Ubuntu, and then when it boots, it kind of half does a half Windows, half Ubuntu thing in order to boot up Ubuntu after
and you
that.
Can play with it like that if you're not sure you want to use Ubuntu. Yeah. But the best
I'm still running it that way.
Okay.
So I don't dare, if I do, if I click that upgrade button, is it going to understand the weird way that I'm running and continue to work?
You use a very powerful application on one of your machines that answers your phones.
Yeah, called Asterisk.
This is Asterisk. Do you run it under Ubuntu?
Yes.
Okay. So you have a dedicated machine running Ubuntu?
Yes. That little Acer machine we bought at Fry's that time.
Oh, yeah.
Okay, little so 200-hour machine.
Mark has a low-powered, what's meant to be like a set-top box for TVs with an HDMI out. Right.
But he's put Linux on it and it answers his phones?
Yes.
So it has our J11 jack or some USB
No, it's all voice over IP stuff.
Oh, okay.
No, Asterisk doesn't just answer your phone. It's far more sophisticated than that.
I do have a question, though.
Hmm?
So you did have your box running Asterisk with specialized specialized cards in your PC at one time.
At one point.
So what are you doing now with the Acer?
Okay, there's external boxes that can answer a phone and turn an Ethernet over, that can connect to a regular phone line and then give you an Ethernet output.
So you've got an external box with one Ethernet cable going from the box to your Acer?
Yeah.
Okay, and then the line's
yes,
going into the
that's
box.
That's right.
Nice.
That's right.
I didn't know that.
And then also, but I do that sometimes, but I also have voice over IP numbers. I don't want to get rid of my last phone numbers yet. I don't quite trust voice over IP that much. So I sometimes forward my phone to a voice over IP number that Asterisk can answer directly.
Okay.
That works pretty well nowadays.
Cool. So you control the voice of the answerer, like with some kind of
dialogue? It can be an answering machine. It also can run it's a whole PBX, so you can run a bunch of like these extensions you have here,
so
it can run those.
Press 1 if you think I'm in the closet.
Yes, I can do that.
If you think I'm in the garage.
Right, I can do that.
Press 3 if you don't care.
Yeah.
Beep.
And then you can also fake the caller ID. It's the real reason I do it.
Okay.
Because when you make an outgoing call with something like Asterisk, you typically tell the carrier what your phone number is.
Right, you can just
and
plant
say
that
anything
with
you want.
Else.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So.
Okay.
Why is President Obama calling me?
I know.
Exactly. Yeah. Oh yeah, we had a story. We had a show about this and how you can
all the fun prank things you can do with that.
And,
yeah.
If you're stalking somebody, how you can actually.
Do you think anyone listening to this actually has a girlfriend?
Well, even before then, do I think anybody's listening to this?
Well, of course we are. I find it very entertaining.
Okay, so now your turn, Mark.
Because
I just did two.
Okay. I actually have an old item.
Okay.
We've talked before about here about Bletchley Park in England. Because I've actually been there. Well, I'm sure we have.
What is it? Refresh.
Bletchley Park is where all the code-breaking work was done during World War II.
Oh, cool.
Okay.
Where arguably the first programmable computer was made, although everyone argues about whether that was true or not.
Okay.
But they developed a code-breaking electromechanical and two vacuum tube code-breaking machines to break the German's Enigma machine.
Right.
So they have a museum there now on that site where they're recreating the original code-breaking vacuum tube machine, and they just have a whole bunch of exhibits about what went on there, and they have a kind of like the exploratorium, like science exhibits, and just a kids' museum with a bunch of computers and stuff. So there's an item about them that they're, all the code-breaking work they did has still remained confidential all this day. All the original messages that they broke have always been reclassified. But they're going to release all that now and make a website where they're going to release all the messages they were able to decrypt during World War II.
Cool. That's cool.
So they do have a website now. You can just see their equipment, you know, talk about the whole story about it.
Was there any equipment that was, like, classified that we weren't allowed to see that we'll be able to
see? At the time, certainly.
Yeah, that's what I'm...
No, the museum seems to already talk about... Museum seems to discuss all that stuff, as far as I can tell.
Okay. Because I know, like, there's an Enigma at the Computer History Museum.
Oh, yeah.
Where is it? Palo Alto?
It's in Mountain View.
Mountain View.
There's a lot of Enigmas. Because Bletchley Park has... How many did they have? We had several of them. The NSA Museum, believe it or not, they have one.
NSA has a museum?
NSA has a museum called the...
But they won't tell you where it is.
Yeah, it's called the Museum of Cryptology in Maryland, right near Washington, D.C. And they have several enigmas there, including one you can play with.
Is that the same museum where they hired that artist to do the piece of...
That's the NSA building, but not,
right,
not part
but
of the museum.
But you know what I'm talking about. Yeah. I read the article on Wired about that guy who did the... still not fully deciphered artwork or something like that.
I read a book. You know Dan Brown, who does Da Vinci Code and all that? He had an early book called... I forgot the name right now. Anyway, he had an early book that was about that, the NSA and code breaking, and talks about that sculpture a lot.
Can you read it on audio?
No, it's on certainly
Audible?
On...
Is it
on,
an Audible book?
I don't know, but it's on electronic form. I read it on my Kindle. I mean, I read it on my Barnes & Noble reader. Because speaking of that, this is a very important item, actually.
Because, actually, we're going to try and get some people to actually pay us at some point.
Yeah, right.
Okay.
No, but...
I think we have to get them to pay attention.
I have to segue to something. This is very important.
There's a segue again?
Yes. If you have a Barnes & Noble Nook e-reader...
Uh-huh.
And someone pointed out.
Nookie?
Yes, and someone pointed out, if you say that fast, it sounds like a Nookie reader.
Which
I don't want to read Nookie.
Yeah. Anyway, or you have the Barnes & Noble reader on your iPhone or iPad.
Okay.
If you go into a Barnes & Noble bookstore, go to the cafe area and show them that you have some Barnes & Noble capability to read their books, you get free coffee.
But
sorry, I don't drink coffee, so that doesn't really excite me.
But as I found out with Starbucks, when you maybe this is no longer
it'll just be some stupid little regular coffee.
No,
or
they
something.
Don't know what the heck they even have when you say, "Oh, by the way, your wireless isn't working. Can you restart the wireless access point?"
Okay. Well, last time I was in there,
is that
I was
a Grande wireless access point?
I've got a Nook.
I can't get any free Nookie here.
And the last time I was in one of their cafes, I was actually arguing with them about why do you charge for Wi-Fi? Because they used to.
Because they're kids. They don't know.
Yeah. And why do you charge for Wi-Fi when everyone else is Wi-Fi free nowadays? They actually were willing to discuss it intelligently, but...
Okay.
But anyway, they're free now. The Wi-Fi is free there. And free coffee if you have any kind of their reader.
So if you've got Nookie, you've got coffee.
No, but if you have an iPhone, just download their application. Then you
I'm sorry, that's just a joke that keeps on giving.
Yeah. Well, coffee helps you have Nookie.
Coffee? I saw an article, coffee helps prevent diabetes.
Really?
Yeah, I just saw an article about
it's
that.
It's also...
I shouldn't throw out a little thing. Every time I throw out a little
it's
thing like that,
diuretic.
That becomes a URL I have to put in Slurpcast.
It's not
Wes,
a Ron Hubbard's
Wes,
book, by
Wes.
The way. That's not... That's Dianetic.
Yeah.
Sorry.
Okay.
Sorry, I wasn't using a code name.
All right. Which, by the way, was a really interesting book until halfway through it when he starts talking about people living in the middle of the Earth.
Okay.
It's like,
you know, he started that as a dare. Didn't some science fiction author dare him at some...
I think
some...
you said that.
That's what I heard.
Yeah, yeah.
That's
possible. Like, I just had a friend of mine who read the book, and he was reading it and coming to work and talking about it with me.
I think we decided that Robert A. Heinlein must have been the one who dared him. Oh, yeah? You don't have red hair. You can't do anything.
This guy's incredible. Everything he says is actually true.
We're going to get sued now. They sue everybody who criticizes them.
Okay.
So, ciao.
So, Bob, thanks for being a part of the show.
You're welcome. Okay.
He's out of here.
Okay.
Okay.
I have another item that has nothing to do with the iPhone. Yeah. Okay. It's actually just a science kind of thing in a way. Someone made a graphic because of the BP oil spill, obviously spurred this graphic because it mentions it here and there. But it's a chart showing the tallest mountain down to the deepest crack in the ocean to scale, where it just shows what happens at every elevation above the Earth, as high as we've had rockets go, or anything like that. And then what happens in each layer of the atmosphere. Then you hit the water, what happens to different layers of the water below, how the drilling works, how deep the drilling gets. But just a very tall, it's vertically oriented, a very tall graph. I say starting from like 35,000 feet above down to like 25,000 feet below the ocean. It has a very interesting graphic with all these legends about what happens at those levels. So I'll post a link to that. No, it's more science. Actually, why didn't that pick up? For some reason, the graphic didn't pick up on the iPad version of Evernote. But anyway, no, it's not. It's not quite events. Well, it does show like where the Titanic is in depth, But it shows the oil well drilling in depth and shows the heights of different mountains, heights of different buildings, how all that's relative to each other. That's pretty good, yeah. So that's all my items that don't have anything at all to do with Apple and iPhones. Okay. On Facebook, when you get all kinds of messages for people's status on Facebook, what's the most annoying type of messages you get? Farmville, right?
Well, all of the game messages.
Yeah.
I've blocked Farmville, so I don't get all this stuff. But yeah,
okay.
Like new games being created that people are playing, and all of a sudden those messages pop up on my wall.
I know. But there's going to be Farmville for the iPhone.
Right.
Yes. Didn't that make you happy?
That was announced in the World Cup.
Yeah, speaking of our competitors and on iPhones, I told you about an app that I couldn't get working. I finally did. It's called Bird Pie for the iPad only. Bird Pie brings you up Leo Laporte's videos. He's one of our competitors and therefore an enemy also.
Okay.
We have to get anybody who competes with us, right? So Leo Laporte does live videos all the time, mainly just talking heads, but he holds up devices to show it also and stuff like that. So the app Bird, and he also has conference, you know, chat lines going on or IRC. So the app BirdPie brings up his video in the top window, then the chat in the bottom window or schedule different things in the bottom window.
Now, did he make this application?
I don't know where it came from. Yeah.
Because
yeah.
He has his own Twitch apps.
Now, I have no idea why it's called BirdPie, for one thing,
yeah,
but yeah. They probably had to get his permission because it's all his content that they're broadcasting. But anyway, it's tricky to get it working, but the live video really does come in if you know.
Well, that, if you all do that it, stuff, what you described about this app, all that works within the Twitch app that he sells and makes a profit from.
For an iPhone or iPad or for Windows?
He has an iPad version.
Oh, really? Well, oh, I had no idea.
Yeah. The
okay.
iPhone version is free.
Okay.
It will play video and do all the things you just talked about. Huh. The iPad version is not free. I think it's like, I don't know, maybe 9 or 9 cents, but it also has an IRC client.
Yeah, BirdPie does that too.
Okay.
It's way too busy. The chat's way too busy. I should try to pay attention to it.
I wonder how he does it when they're doing the show. Because he does.
I think he only looks at it when he's actually talking about a specific thing, I suspect. Also, it doesn't seem to have anything to do with what he's talking about generally. People just randomly keep on chatting no matter what he's talking about.
Go off topic and stuff.
Yeah. But anyway, but that's a pretty cool app. But yeah, if he has one of his own, I guess I'll try that instead. Okay, so one of the features I'd like to put on the show is give reasons why people should stick with the Apple platform, like iPhones and iPads, rather than going to an Android phone and Android tablets that will inevitably come out, and rather than using BlackBerries and all that. So I give examples of the greatest applications that are on the iPhone and iPad platform only, so you better stick with that platform. Okay, this is a combination of hardware and software. It's a little device you plug into the earphone jack of your phone, and you run an app, and the app makes really loud noises in the earphone jack, and the little device you plug in generates a voltage from that noise, and it lights up an LED flashlight. Yes, you can turn your iPad for $500 into a little flashlight by spending extra money, more than you'd pay for an LED flashlight, to buy this device that plugs in the earphone jack, and then you make loud noises into it, and it lights up as an LED flashlight.
But you wasted battery power playing the audio
yes.
through the amplifier.
Yes.
Pad or
but anyway, you probably can't do this on a BlackBerry or anything, so you better buy an iPhone for that reason.
That's really great.
Yeah.
That's great.
Okay, then there's an app called... There's an app called K-Bad. I don't know why it's... I'm sorry. No, never mind. That's just my notes. There's an app called Bad Calculator. It looks just like a regular calculator, but you do little gestures on the screen first about what mistakes you want to make. So if you want to add up a column of numbers and fake people around you to think it's higher or lower, you do some gestures first. It'll then make a mistake on the addition and stuff.
That's
yeah.
Good.
Yeah.
Like
right.
That's good.
Could be useful.
Yeah.
Then there's an app, another certainly useful app. The iPad is heavy enough you can use it as a dumbbell. And there's an app that shows you exactly how much your iPad weighs based on how much memory chip, how many memory chips you have in it, you know, what the memory is it 3G or not. Then it shows on the dumbbell on the screen the exact weight of it, so when you do your exercises with it, you'll be accurate, you know.
All right. Okay.
And you were talking about drum machines.
Yes.
How about a drum machine in farts? So I love fart apps, right?
Yeah. Okay.
So there's an app called Fart Drums HD. where you tap on drums on the iPad screen, but it makes fart noises. Oh, and then there's a Fart Piano HD. This is an old iPhone, a very important old iPhone app that brings up a piano keyboard, and it will play scales and all that, but in fart noises. There's now an HD version of it for the iPad. There's an iPhone app called Fat Booth. You like it?
Yeah.
I sent you a picture of yourself through it, right?
No, did you?
Yes, by email, yeah.
No, I didn't get that.
Okay. Anyway, yeah, so you install this Fat Booth app, then you either take a new picture or point it at a picture of somebody, but it has to be a front-facing face, you know, looking right at you. Then you show the app where the eyes and nose and mouth are. It has some face recognition, but you still have to help it out a little bit. And then it fattens that person and shows what they would look like if they weighed like 100 pounds more, how their cheeks would fill out and their double chin would form. Yeah, it's actually pretty cool. It does a pretty good job. And there's an app called Less Cigarette, and this is allowed in the App Store. It was still there this morning because some of these fake medical apps get pulled after a while, but this one's still there. Okay, then what would you do if you're at a party and you want to play Spin the Bottle, but all they have is cans nowadays? They don't have bottles anymore. What would you do, Wes? No, you use the Spin It HD app to spin a bottle on the iPad screen. And then the last one I'll give for the essential apps why you should buy an iPhone, one called Werewolf Me. You take a picture of someone and run it through this program and it makes them look like a werewolf. So if being fat's not good enough, actually if you make them fat first and then make them a werewolf, it would be even better. So I've got serious ones. Let me give you a preliminary first. Let's say you go to an art museum. I've personally done this. Go to some museum and they have a special Leonardo da Vinci exhibit of all his sketchbooks or something, because he has a lot of just very nice little pencil drawings he did on paper to sketch out for something for a painting later. And you go to one of those exhibits and you're impressed. Wow, da Vinci actually touched this. He drew this. And you go from one little sketchbook to another and you study each one for an hour and stuff, right? Well, there's an iPad app now called DaVinci HD. That's everything DaVinci ever did, every sketchbook page, every painting he ever made, all that kind of stuff. So, wow, I have everything, and it's actually very good quality and very well scanned in and stuff. So it's just like going to the museum. But my reaction is flick, 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 flick. Okay, I'm done. Next artist. Oh, you know, geez. Whereas in a museum, you'd be so impressed if you saw these same things. Yeah. So there's a Rembrandt. The same company has a Rembrandt one now that everything Rembrandt ever did. Flick, 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 flick. So, yeah, I'm done. Exactly. But they're on sale now for only $1 each. It's actually everything the artist ever did in a very nicely scanned in way. Looks beautiful on the screen. Only $1 per artist. It's called Rembrandt HD and DaVinci HD. And on the art theme, there's a thing called Space Wallpapers. That's a bunch of pictures that they took from NASA. They're basically NASA photographs, but ones they chose that would make good backgrounds for the iPad. So I've got one right now. Yeah.
Did you see the movie Splice?
Yes. Okay. People say it's disturbing, and yes, there are certain scenes that are disturbing.
Yes, there are.
Yeah.
Especially about the creature and what happens to the creature.
Yes. Right. Where people yelling out, "Dude, what are you thinking?" Yeah, people in the audience were yelling that kind of thing out from time to time during the most disturbing scene.
Yeah, that was, like, everybody in the theater kind of cracked up uncomfortably, wow, really doing that?
I know,
crazy.
I know.
It was definitely an interesting movie.
Okay.
Kind of bioscience.
Yeah, but what they end up doing with it,
Dark Castle, again, production company was pretty cool. Okay. They don't usually review movies or anything.
Yeah. Well, another one I didn't see, on the same genre, but I didn't get to see it, so I'm going to rent it when it comes out, called The Human Centipede.
Ooh, I heard horrible things.
Yes,
about that movie.
I know.
Yeah, but
I know. It's about the scientist who goes crazy, and he wants, you know how they have Siamese twins, and people separate Siamese twins?
Yes.
He likes the idea of making Siamese twins.
Yeah.
So he takes regular people and joins them at the hip, and joins their stomach and intestines together and stuff like that.
I heard that he had this fascination with the intestinal tract or the digestive
system, and he wanted to make the longest digestive system.
Okay. Well, he wants to get in the Guinness Book of World Records. You can't blame him, you know. Anyway, so I'm going to rent that when it becomes available, but okay. I missed it in the theaters.
Yeah, I missed it as well. So. Yeah. And the people who saw it were totally disturbed, and were like, yeah, you don't want to see this movie.
Okay.
So that makes me want to, of course, see it.
Right. Okay.
All right.
And so one more iPhone, iPad thing. I may have talked about this before. If you jailbreak, there's a thing called Categories that's very good. Actually, it's kind of obsolete now because the new OS is going to have a way to have multiple icons on the under the same category, on the same folder. But Categories is the way you can do that right now. So I have that set up on here.
But only if you jailbreak.
Yes. But I've got that set up right now. So I click one icon and it brings up other icons for that category and stuff.
All right. Well, thanks, Mark, yeah. for doing the show.
Sure.
And thanks to Bob, and thanks for you guys for listening. Remember, the website where we have is also a discussion board. It's a blog. So if you click on the title of the show that you're currently listening to, you'll be able to add your own comments if you have something to say.
Right.
Or if you even listen to the show.
Or if you have anything you want to spam, do that too, because that's what most of them are. So as in any blog, you know. So.
That's right. Yeah. Okay. Thanks, guys.
Okay.